This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Lebanon. The headline from Israel. Israel vows to defend offshore gas rig amid escalating tensions with Lebanon. Tensions with Lebanon. We welcome Hussein Abdul Hussein, research fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, to help us with the troubles in Lebanon that multiply every time I come back to this subject, guided by Malcolm. Malcolm, go ahead, please.
Okay. So I know this is a very complex situation, and you have written extensively about the latest installation, the drilling rig at the Karish gas site in the Mediterranean, which Lebanon claims is violating its maritime sovereignty. And I saw the study that came out today that shows clearly it is within Israel's waters and not in Lebanese. Number one, with all of the problems, and I met several Lebanese officials in the last week who were detailing the terrible internal situation. With all of that, why would they engage in this battle rather than getting to drilling, which would help offset some of the economic problems that they have? What is the ultimate agenda here?
Well, the main problem here is that Lebanon has technically two states. You have the Lebanese state and then you have the Hezbollah state. So if you listen to what Hezbollah chief Nasrallah said, he said that he doesn't agree to the U.S. envoy even visiting Lebanon, which happened. We know that Amos Hochstein did visit Lebanon and met with the president and the speaker and the acting prime minister. On the other hand, you have the Lebanese state, and the Lebanese state, they're saying we're open for diplomacy and we're willing to have a negotiated settlement with Israel. So I think we have two Lebanons here, one that's peacefully willing to talk to Israel, albeit indirectly through the UN, and the other side that's more populist, that's threatening escalation. But frankly, I don't see escalation coming at this point. I don't think that this is an issue that is very important for Iran to risk going to war, to push Hezbollah to go to war with Israel.
This is a puzzle to me. You understand the headlines in Europe. We all do. Natural gas is the currency of the 21st century, at least until 2050. The natural gas fields of Eastern Mediterranean are said to be treasure chests. Is there a candid conversation in the Lebanese government circles or the prosperous people of Lebanon about what awaits them if this goes forward?
Well, Lebanon has many complications when it comes to gas. They are expected to be demarcating the maritime borders with a state that they don't recognize. So that's how complicated it starts for a start. So anyway, even if they get beyond that, so far the Lebanese have had a few unsuccessful rounds of exploration conducted by the French giant Total. One was in the middle of the country near of the coast, and the other one is closer to the south. Now, the last hope is that Lebanon might find reserves of gas right on the border with Israel in the sea, or maybe slightly to the south of the border. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Lebanese have now pushed the line. They initially asked for line 23, but now, some Lebanese are asking for line 29, even though the government has not officially asked for line 29. So the Lebanese are hopeful that if there's settlement, they might and only might get some gas. I think until this minute, the exploration rounds that they've had have not yielded anything that's promising.
Malcolm?
And when the U.S. earlier offered them in a mediation, I think 55% to them and 45% to Israel, and they rejected it as they rejected virtually all the other proposals that have been made. So is Iran pushing through their agents, Hezbollah, indirectly to prevent any kind of an understanding to keep this as a tension point? It would seem that they would want to exploit it for economic and other purposes, but obviously, they don't care about the situation of the Lebanese people. So how do we get out of this contentious situation?
So usually Iran tries to obstruct any energy projects in the Eastern Mediterranean. And we know that Iran killed one of the projects that would have carried Iraqi oil and gas from southern Iraq all the way to southern Jordan through the Aqaba. and which would be really close to Israel, and from there it can be shipped off to Europe. Iran has an interest in having the oil and gas going through the Gulf that it can control. But at this point, I don't see Iran really threatened with any Lebanese gas, as at least not yet. There's no indication that the Lebanese have any significant amounts of gas. So at this point, I don't see Hezbollah, the one that's really pushing to obstruct this. I think what's really been obstructing the settlement with Israel is that Lebanon is too paralyzed. It's too dominated by a militia. And it's much easier for the Lebanese to say no to things than to give any positive answers to any settled negotiation. I think at this point, at least after the last round of U.S. diplomacy, it seems that the Lebanese are getting closer to a solution and coming back to their senses.
Are they influenced by the state of the world and the price of natural gas? Does that persuade anyone in Beirut?
Well, theoretically, it should. And you add to it an economy that's been in free fall since the summer of 2019, and you would think that the Lebanese would be dying for any settlement that they can reach with Israel. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be going this way. For some reason, the Lebanese leaders are more interested in populist politicking with their own population, and in acting as if they support the Hezbollah radical line against Israel. They're more interested in these shenanigans than in actual exploration, drilling, export, and getting revenue that might help their desperately needy economy.
Malcolm?
We have talked earlier with Joseph Browdy about the new anti-Semitic law, the anti-normalization law passed in Iraq. I know you have studied this. Do you think that they've thought through what the implications, the consequences for business, American and foreign businesses? Who really motivated? Is it a risk of pressure from internal extremist forces that is driving this rather than the government?
Well, my understanding was that the biggest bloc that's won in parliamentary elections in October, that's the Muqtada Sadr bloc, they were not pressuring the government, or they're not, at least in public, they were not asking for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq. And the pro-Iran militias started using this position to attack them. So to brandish their anti-Western, anti-American, anti-Western credentials, I think they came up with a law against Israel. Israel, of course, being here the stand-in for the United States. This bloc, by the way, the Sadr bloc, just resigned. All of them, 75 members, just resigned 2 days ago. So you can see that there's no clear legislation plan. There's no clear policy plan. And I think the whole pitch was a populist law that was not really studied by any of the lawmakers. And we can tell that there was no research done, because they use terms that don't make sense, including that they criminalize normalization with Israel, and they also criminalize Freemasonry, which is really not part of any of this. And of course, like you said, this criminalizes all U.S. Corporations working in Iraq in case they have any business in Israel. But at the same time, the law criminalizes over 100,000 Iraqi Americans, because all of these Iraqi U.S. citizens might be dealing with their fellow Israeli U.S. citizens. And if they do, that might put them at the risk of
jeopardy,
at the risk of facing life in prison or even capital punishment.
Hussein Abdul Hussein is a research fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.